Our next presenter is Amy Wishner. Amy is an RN, and she directs the EPIC PA Immunization Education Program at the PA Chapter American Academy of Pediatrics for 19 years. She's developed and has directed the EPIC PA Pediatric Obesity Program for over 1 year. And prior to that, Amy was the nurse epidemiologist at the Philadelphia Department of Public Health. She earned her BA from Hampshire College in Amherst, Mass., with a major in economics, and her BS from New York University with a major in nursing, and MSN from the University of Pennsylvania with a major in community health.
Good morning. I have no disclosures. The program that I work on is funded by the Department of Health and by the CDC. So the purpose of our program is to develop, implement, and evaluate a comprehensive education program for physician and practice staff regarding pediatric obesity. And the model that we use is the EPIC model, EPIC, which stands for Educating Physicians in Their Communities. And in each of these programs at the PA Chapter AAP, a physician is paired up with an appropriate community partner. These two people go in teams of two to provide free CME-CEU education primarily to pediatric and family medicine practices, but also to school nurses and other professional groups. We meet with the whole practice staff. We want everyone there, LPNs, medical assistants, nurses, physicians, nurse practitioners, et cetera, because the idea is that we want the whole practice to figure out how to work better as a team to approach the topic of interest. So, for example, the child abuse program, they pair up a physician with a social worker who receives the child abuse reports. The immunization program, we pair up a physician with a public health immunization nurse from that area. And so with the pediatric obesity program, we pair up a physician with a registered dietitian. And these two people are from the local area. So in other words, I have, you know, people all over the state. Depending on where the request is, they go to that region. So they're very familiar with what's going on in that region. And part of the incentive for the physician presenters, in addition to the relatively small honorarium I give them, is that it's this fantastic networking opportunity for them as well. So what practice behaviors do we hope to encourage with our program? So specifically, we want to encourage earlier assessment of weight by height. And this has been interesting because I've seen, this is one of the first changes I saw in the physician presenters themselves, that initially some of them were saying, well, I really wait till the child is, you know, a toddler before I'm doing, you know, sort of much family intervention around body mass index. But in fact, in the presenters, I saw that they were starting to look at the earlier weight by height measurements of babies and even think about talking about interventions in infancy. We want to increase collaboration between physicians and registered dietitians. We want the practice to consider assessment and intervention for, in addition to diet, sleep, mental health, physical activity, and screen time, because these are all independently correlated with obesity. We need to improve their coding and reimbursement. There are lots of registered dietitian services that are covered by insurance, and yet they're very underutilized. We want to increase their awareness and use of community resources, and in general, as I said, we want the practice working together as a team to address pediatric obesity better than before our program. So we provide this on-site free CME-CEU programs, and we really stress practical tips for busy practices and short patient visits. We provide lots of handouts. So, for example, this handy laminated thing of the secret to serving sizes in your hand is one of our handouts to the site. And we talk a lot about local community resources and programs. We also provide ongoing technical assistance. And we provide webinars on special topics. The PA Chapter AAP runs a monthly webinar series offered to all PA AAP members and others in the state called Let's Talk. So, for example, and each of our EPIC programs gets a couple of months where you get to have the Let's Talk be on your topic. So with the obesity program, we've done programs on improving coding, bullying, motivational interviewing, food insecurity, and increasing physical activity. What is our evaluation? Well, at the time of the program, we do a pretest. We have a CME-CEU evaluation at the end, which sort of counts as our post-test. We also request their email for a later survey, and about 2 months later, we send a link to the survey for those who gave us their email, and a subset has also been contacted by telephone. In addition, I look at all the presenter comments, and I have a lot of contact with the presenters, so there ongoing feedback is important to me. As well, I go and look at as many programs as I can, and I also present some programs to some nurse groups. So all that means, of course, the wonder of PowerPoint is you can continually update it very easily. In addition, those technical assistance requests, if people are requesting a lot, frequently the same thing, I add that into the slides. So I'm going to give you a brief taste of our program slides. So this is a 1 or 1.5 hour program, and again, the entire practice staff is there, or it might be a school nurse meeting of like 20 or so nurses from different schools in a district. So we look at obesity as life out of balance, and so obviously our treatment goal is going to be life in balance. And of course, the wonder, one of the wonderful things about working with a pediatric audience is that the kids are growing, so there's a certain amount of calories used for that. We don't provide a lot of statistics to this group, but one thing people are interested in is seeing how does my county compare with others. The black, the orange counties here, Lackawanna County, which is the one in the upper right there, over 50% of kids, grades K through 12, were overweight or obese for these years. So in Pennsylvania, school nurses take BMI on every kid every year through K through 12. Getting the data out is a challenge, but the data is all going in. Obesity is highest in rural areas, unlike most other health problems. And so this is always of interest and always engenders a bit of discussion. There, you know, people have different ideas about why this is, but it's interesting that it is the case. The power of primary care. So these are two of the charts that Body Mass Index is charted on. The one on the left is the younger child, and this is the same child on the right at an older age. And the idea is where those dots are starting to go off that normal range, intervene there. Don't wait until the child is older and those dots have already been way out of range for a while. So, you know, this is the ability of primary care to detect the problem early and intervene before the trend is established. Part of what the physician does is talk about the medical problems that are part of overweight and obesity, and a specific intervention, we try and be very practical, include overweight or obesity on the problem list, which means that, you know, the next time that family comes in, someone else, the next provider, will look at that list and say, oh, this is one of the issues, this is what the family is dealing with on that issue. HEDIS is an insurance issue. The point is that appropriately addressing and documenting pediatric overweight and obesity can affect what the practice makes. For normal, what we're looking at across the life scan, because even for normal weight children and teens, of course, they can be eating junk, they could be trending down, so being alert for bulimia, and basically that looking for BMI increasing significantly even if they're still in the normal range. And we want to generally promote this model of wellness across the lifespan. Sharing messaging research and talking about how to talk with parents, and in particular that eat well, move more, live longer is a slogan that has tested very well, and several practices have adopted that particular language because here's all this messaging research that they don't have to do. They can see this works. Who cares for and feed your patients? So again, since we're looking at obesity prevention very broadly, sleep, mental health, screen time, physical activity, as well as diet, knowing where that kid is during the week and all those different people who are affecting those things all need to be involved in supporting changes. Family food dynamics. So this certainly is an area where the registered dietitian is expert, and in particular this Ellen Satter approach to the parent's job being what to eat, when to eat, and where to eat, and the child's job being how much to eat is an extremely helpful practical tip for practices that the RDs all take totally for granted. And yet, most people who aren't registered dietitians, this is new to them. Motivational interviewing, readiness to change, working within family values, tracking at every visit, sugary sweetened beverages and sports drinks, and talking about how, you know, the marketing of sports drinks has been very effective in getting kids to think these are healthy, these will give me more energy, my team will win if I drink 2 Gatorades. Promoting family meals, again, sharing, you know, evidence-based research on that. As I mentioned, non-food obesity interventions as well. And talking about community advocacy, sharing what one of the things is when presenters do a variety of these presentations, they then have stories from one place to share with another place. This is what this practice is doing. Your practice might consider doing something else. And again, a practical suggestion, serving only water at practice, school, or sports events. obviously things like supporting walkable, bikeable communities, community gardens, CSAs, healthy corner stores, which has been a big initiative in Philadelphia. The 5210 program is a specific thing from the American Academy of Pediatrics, and one of the handouts we give people is this really terrific flip chart from the AAP that is very specific around if you have a family in a 15-minute visit and this is the stage of overweight or obesity where that child is, here's the specific thing you can say to them. So it's super helpful, as well as things like here are the labs that you should be taking on your overweight and obese patients, and here are the values that you're looking for. So super practical and helpful. Coding and reimbursement, as I mentioned, is very important, and we need to be addressing the financial end of this in these presentations. So, specifics about what Pennsylvania Medicaid pays for, talking about, here we're talking about a lot of things related to counseling, sleep, mental health, screen time. How do you code for that? And again, this one of our presenters came up with this, and a lot of people really like it, thinking in terms of what the patient walks away with, a food goal, an activity goal, and a family goal. Sometimes maybe only one of these things, but people find this helpful. So what have we done, what do our participants report, and what are the implications? So one of our results is just the number of presenters trained, because these people become, advocates in the community, and part of the thing that people like, especially physicians have liked about being immunization presenters, being obesity presenters, is that they are kept up to date with latest research, with very succinct sort of updates that I send out to them. So we have 158 active presenters around the state. We've presented in this time period 198 programs, reaching almost 3,500 participants. And when we look at the practices that give us the number of their pediatric patients, 0 through 18 years of age, here's the number. It's a big number that we're potentially impacting. And we get a lot of requests for follow-up technical assistance, so that's an important outcome. So first, we're going to talk a little about the on-site pretest, so who is coming to the presentation, who fills out the forms. So as you can see, a lot of MDs, DOs, and RNs. On our pretest, do you know where and how to refer for obesity-related resources? So no, 31%, that's a group that we want to reach. How frequently do you have parents who bring up their own concerns? So you can see we sort of hope to move people from, in general, the sometimes and never group over to the always group, although this is just informational that it is a big parent concern. How frequently do you include, I mentioned, including it on the problem list. So you can see sometimes and never, a lot of room to improve in getting it on the problem list. How frequently do you refer obese patients to a registered dietitian? So you can see, again, a big improvement, big room for improvement here. How frequently do you discuss nutrition? So, a lot of people do that already. But when we look at discussing daily physical activity, it's not as much, and sometimes a never group, because, again, this is something we would ideally like everybody to be doing with patients and families during well child visits. Screen time. This is a bit of a new way of thinking about obesity. So, again, a lot of room for improvement there. Okay, so now we're at the CMECU evaluation. This is the post-test just following the program. How satisfied are people? 88% highly or very highly satisfied with the program. 86% say it's highly or very highly relevant to their practice. Able to improve anticipatory guidance. 70% say yes, as a result of this program, they're better able to do that. More aware of community resources, 66% say yes, more aware of community resources. Increasing the skill level in identifying childhood obesity comorbidity, so this is more the medical piece, 68% highly, very highly able to do that. Making a change in their practice, so something, of course, we hope they do, 65% said they're highly or very highly likely to do this. Okay, so now we're 2 months later. So these are the people who we got an email from, we sent the link to, and they filled out the form. Of these people, Pennsylvania obesity data, 76% say they have an increased knowledge of that, 64% of obesity research, 71% of food, diet, and beverage tips. Referring to a registered dietitian, so we see, yes, we're affecting that behavior, 59% do that. Discussing BMI percentile with parents, 67% are doing that, 78% are doing more of discussing nutrition, 63% are using the motivational interviewing techniques that we talk about in our program. And as I said, sleep, screen time, mental health, and physical activity. So again, sort of beyond the diet piece, you can see we're having a big impact on that, that they've increased the frequency with which they do these things. So some thoughts about our evaluation. Well, ideally, I'd like to be able to map the school BMI data by grade, gender, and county every year. These data are taken and reported. It's hard for me to pry them out of the state health department. It's also a challenge knowing what practices are doing. Long-term serial follow-up is expensive and time-consuming, and it is going to be the most motivated people in practices who are more likely to respond. And data management and analysis, I mean, I'm the program. I have a clerical person, so, that's what it is. And in conclusions, practices definitely need and want help with addressing pediatric obesity, and they are the front lines of dealing with this problem. They definitely have some knowledge gaps, and increased collaboration between physicians and registered dietitians is key. They definitely want local resources and practical tips. Our curriculum seems to do a good job of addressing it, partly because we can keep, improving it if we're not addressing something. And our EPIC model is well suited to practice-based pediatric obesity interventions. I have a terrific advisory committee. It's pretty big, as you can see. And thank you, and I'm the Amy Wishner person here. Feel free to contact me with any questions or suggestions.